Hey, Moving Forward listeners, I'm excited to announce that I will be teaching a summer session of my writing and self-publishing class through the Johns Hopkins Odyssey program that starts Saturday, June 15th, and will run for 6 weeks. In this course, I'll cover a step-by-step process to ideate, plan, and write your book so you can get it done and published. For course and registration information, head over to bemovingforward.com. The class is open to all, including nonfiction and fiction writers, with special discounts for Hopkins alum. However, space is limited, so enroll now and let's start moving forward this summer on June 15th. John Lim here. We're moving forward with episode 462. I hope everyone is having a great week. We're already in the middle of March, hard to believe, and are getting ready for a good weekend. All right. First of all, I want to welcome any new listeners. If you're new to the podcast, welcome. Do check out the trailer, episode 000, for the background on Moving Forward, the history of it. And that'll give you an idea of how to approach moving forward. And as I like to say, you can create your own moving forward journey based off of the episodes or the types of episodes that speak to you. And I have many different types of episodes for whatever your interests are. So if you're interested in conversations, I have a lot of interview podcasts. If you're interested in learning a new skill, such as writing a book or learning how to build a business on Poshmark or launch your own podcast, I've got mini series collections. I even have episodes that are related to entertainment, such as the summer movie series. Right now, I'm in the middle of revisiting how to write your first book. And this is in light of the fact that I actually have a class coming up in just a week, as of the air of this episode, in 1 week. I will be teaching a class on how to write and self-publish your book. So right now, over the last couple of weeks, I've been revisiting the process, kind of giving you the groundwork to do so. Speaking of which, as of the recording of this episode, which is a couple days from air, I only have 2 spots left for the writing class. So by the time this airs, I don't know if I will have any more spots left. You can check the website. Just head over to bemovingforward.com, and if you see the registration link, you'll be able to see if there are any spots left. But I can't promise that that'll be the case by the time this episode airs, which airs on Thursday, but I'm recording this a couple days ahead of time. But if there are 1 or 2 spots left and you want to take this writing class, I cover everything from how to come up with your book idea, how to vet it, how to formulate it using an ideation map, and how to create an outline, the drafting process, the editing process, and the self-publishing process. This is a class that you're going to want to take. It's 6 weeks, starting on Thursday, March 28th, a week from the air date. And it'll be from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern time over the next 6 weeks. So we're going to have a lot of fun. And also, if you're a Hopkins alum or a Hopkins employee, you will get a nice discount. But this class is open to everyone. All right, getting back to our discussion on the pre-planning stages of writing your book. Last week, we talked about creating what I like to call a SMART outline from your ideation map. And we left off with a great hack that I learned from a fellow author, Suzanne Brown, which is to color code your outline using a color coding system: green for easy, red for more difficult. And if you want to have a third color, say yellow for something that's in between, you can do that as well. Whatever your color choices are, that's entirely up to you. But have some sort of way of demarcating and highlighting chapters that are going to be harder to write, those that you anticipate will be easier. And if you want, you can do an in-between. Whereas an in-between might be a chapter that you know you won't have that much trouble writing. It's something maybe you're looking forward to, but you might have to fill in some knowledge gaps, do some additional research. All right, so let's talk about this. Why should you go ahead and color code your outline? And why do I think this is such a brilliant hack? And let's talk about this, because this is really an anticipation of the drafting when you get into writing your first draft. And we're going to talk a little bit about that today on the second half of the episode. But writing a book is a long-term commitment. It's something that will take you months. In some cases, it might take you a year or more. And it's really going to depend on the type of book that you're writing and the amount of time that you have to devote to it. Writing a book, especially one that has maybe a story that you've been percolating on for a while, or if it's an important part of a skill or a profession that you want to teach someone else, that's going to take a lot of time, not only in the planning stages, which is what we're in the middle of now, but in the actual writing and then later in the editing. And then there's a whole separate process for self-publishing. And as with any endeavor, there are going to be days where it's going to be difficult to do this. There are going to be days where it's going to be easy to do this. And I'm going to talk about something called writing flow after the break. But just to kind of pre-plan this and to look ahead, one of the reasons why I love this hack, again, credit to Suzanne Brown, is that this is looking ahead towards those days in which you may be in a great writing flow. You may have the space and the meaning, the time and the mental space to devote to writing, but there may be other days where it'll be very hard. You have a lot going on, you have a lot of stress, and those will be the days in which it'll be a lot harder to get anything done in terms of your writing. So what the color coding does is it helps you anticipate what to write on a particular day. And the first thing I want to kind of break away from is this idea that the way you read books from cover to cover, beginning to end, is the way you write books. And that's not always the case. Now, there are certain circumstances where it may make sense to write from beginning to end, such as in the case of a novel or a story, something that's very sequential. But in many cases, when it comes to nonfiction and even in fiction, you're not necessarily going to want to write in order. In other words, from chapter one to chapter end. There may be chapters that will come a lot easier to you. And you don't have to write it in sequential order. And I liken this to back when I was a part-time actor and I did a couple of productions. Oftentimes, TV episodes or movies are not filmed sequentially. That's how you watch them. You watch them from beginning to end. But the way they're produced, sometimes you may have the very final scene shot first, or something in the middle shot first, or the beginning is shot at the very end. And that's because films are done logistically. There are a lot of logistics that go into planning a film or TV show, such as the availability of your actors and production crew, the ease of the location, budget considerations. So sometimes what will happen is someone called a line producer will actually schedule out how to make the most efficient time in your shooting schedule. And it might mean, and oftentimes it will mean, that you're shooting scenes out of sequence. Similarly, writing a book does not have to be done in sequence. And in fact, it may be to your detriment if you try to write it sequentially, because there may be certain chapters that will be harder or easier, as we talked about with the color coding system. So what I recommend is when you are sitting down to write on a particular day, and we'll talk about schedules in the second half of the episode, look at what you have going on. Are you in a good space to write, or are you in a very distracted frame of mind? And you may be juggling a lot, you may have too much going on, and you might not have a lot of time, or there may be days where you have more time and you're in a better space. And look at your color code and use that as a guide to determine what you want to write on a particular day. So for example, let's say today is kind of a rush day. I don't have a full amount of time. Maybe I only have 5 minutes to write and I've got too much on my mind. I'm not going to choose a chapter or section that's going to be difficult to write because my mind is already weighed down by a lot. And to add additional work to that is going to slow down my progress. Instead, what I might do is I might pick a green section or a section that's going to be easier to write, or one that I'm really looking forward to write, because despite the fact that I have a lot going on, I'm really looking forward to writing this section of the book. It'll come easier to me. Therefore, I'm going to at least get something done. Conversely, if I'm in a good state of mind, I don't have a lot going on and I can get into something called writing flow, I might choose a more challenging chapter because I've got the mental energy and the space to devote to my writing that particular day. And of course, if you want, you can do the in-between. Maybe it's an average day. So I might want to tackle a chapter that I know I can write. Maybe I'm looking forward to writing it, but it might need a little more work. It might be kind of not the easiest chapter, but not the most difficult. So that's why I recommend the color coding system. It's just a roadmap on picking things you want to write depending on the day. And you may find that you plan to write chapter 5 on Wednesday, but Wednesday ended up being a really hectic day and you don't have as much time as you thought you did. So that may mean switching to chapter 7. And we're going to talk about how to set up your first draft so that it's easy to move around between different chapters. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, I'm going to share with you what exactly is writing flow and ways you can get set up for writing success.
Hey, Moving Forward listeners, here's today's Poshmark power tip. Save your favorite videos of your listings in your album to reuse in your stories and tag the listing. This will make it evergreen marketing. For more Poshmark seller tips, check out the Poshmark Guide for Individuals and Small Businesses, which is available on Amazon in paperback, Kindle, and as an audiobook on Audible and Apple Audiobooks. Start learning and moving forward today.
All right, we're back with episode 462, talking about the pre-planning stages, and we're almost to the point where we're going to start writing that first draft, but we're not quite there yet. So a couple things. Let's talk about what I mentioned at the top of the episode. What exactly is writing flow? Writing flow is when you are so engrossed in an activity. Think of your favorite hobby or TV show or book that you're reading. You're so engrossed in the activity, or you could be spending time with your friends and the conversation. You know, you ever have those moments where you're just losing track of time and time just seems to stand still, or rather actually fly by because you're having so much fun. That's what writing flow is. It's when you're in a state of mind and you're in a good place and you are excited about what you're doing and you can just sit down and continue writing. And before you know it, the allotted time that you spend, whether it's 15 minutes, 20 minutes, half an hour, 1 hour, has gone by and you feel like you want to do more. That's writing flow. Now, the thing about writing flow is that it's something that you want to achieve as much as possible, but realistically, it's not going to be every single time you sit down to write. Writing flow is fleeting. It is subject to, like anything else, the whims of the world and whatever is going on in your mind. So there may be days where you're feeling a writing flow, but then there are the opposite days where you might be feeling like you're stuck in mud. That if you've ever been stuck in mud during a rainy day, it's really hard to get your galoshes out of the mud. Think about when you were a kid, jumped in a mud puddle, really hard to get your foot out of the mud. There will be writing days like that. And that's when you will look back to your outline and decide, okay, is this a green day or is this a red day or an in-between day? And that's the brilliance of having a color-coded outline, is going back and seeing, okay, I plan to write this chapter, but maybe I can do a little more, so I might want to choose a red chapter. Or conversely, I'm having a really hard day, got too much going on. I'm going to choose something a little bit easier to work on. It might even be the conclusion of the book. So use the color coding rather than the sequence of chapters to guide how you approach writing the book. All right. Couple other things I want to talk about to prepare you for writing success. One of the things that I talk about in my class, which I'm going to share with you, is the importance of having a designated writing space. And I recommend use the rule of two, as they say in Star Wars. I think that was the Sith rule, have a master and apprentice rule of two. Have two writing spaces. One is your primary writing space, and I don't care where it is. I've talked to authors who use a traditional workspace, authors that have used their kitchen table, the library, coffee shop, what have you. Pick a primary writing space, and that's going to be the place you're going to go to most of the time during your designated writing days. You're just going to sit down, and you're going to associate that place with writing. Ideally, it should be distraction-free, but that's not always going to be the case. But somewhere that you're comfortable, that you feel like facilitates you getting into the flow of your book. Now, I do recommend have a backup. Have a second spot that you're going to fall back to. And it's always a good idea to have two because your primary spot might not always be available. That place in the coffee shop. The coffee shop might be crowded that day. You're working at home, but there's construction outside. So have a secondary spot that you can immediately go to in the event that your first spot is not available or is not convenient that day. All right, let's talk about writing schedule. This is where I think a lot of people get tripped up on writing a book because a lot of people, when they want to write their first book, they think, I need to just take a sabbatical for 3 months, lock myself in a cabin or hotel room, and just spend 8 hours writing. Realistically speaking, most of you do not have the bandwidth or the luxury to do that. And even if you did, even if you could take months off at a time, think about trying to force yourself to sit and write for 8 hours when you're not used to doing so. You're going to find yourself fidgeting. You're going to find yourself, your body and your mind is going to find any distraction possible to actually keep you from writing, whether it's cleaning up your desk, your room, running errands, what have you. Unless you are a writer by trade, think of Stephen King. He's been doing this for decades. So writing 6 to 8 hours at a time, that's his job. That's his day job. That's what he does. But for most of you writing your book, it's not your primary profession. So if you were to force yourself, let's say you took 2 weeks of vacation time and you decided, I'm going to spend all this time writing, you may not get as much done as you think you will because you're not used to writing for a long block of time. So what I recommend you do is come up with what I call the reasonable writing schedule, reasonable and realistic. Look at your schedule, look at how busy you are, look at what fills up your days, and come up with a reasonable writing schedule. And I will give you one that's sort of a baseline template, but you can make your own tweaks. And using the numbers 3, 15, 4 to 5. And 3 designates the number of times you're going to write per week. 15 is kind of a benchmark for you to set, 15 minutes per writing day. And 4 to 5 is your commitment of months to spend on that first draft. So the baseline might be, I'm going to spend 3 days a week, let's say Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, what have you, from 1 to 1:15 p.m., 15 minutes during those three times over a period of 4 to 5 months. If you were to actually devote the time to do that, you would either finish your first draft or make significant headway. Because it's not about how much you write in a 1 8-hour block. It's about how much you can chip away at it over a period of commitment and consistency. And again, I've got to give credit to a writing coach who I interviewed many years ago who shared this particular way of approaching writing. Instead of trying to think about large blocks of time, think about reasonable chunks spread out over a period. All right, so and I say this is a baseline template because for some of you, it might be a little different. Some of you may be so busy, you only have 1 to 2 days to write. Some of you may only have 5 minutes, or you may have half an hour if you're a little more ambitious. And your book, well, whether or not it's 4 to 5 months or 2 to 3 months or 9 to 10 months, is going to depend on your book, the scope and the book itself. But just to give you a little bit of inspiration, if you think you're too busy to write, there's a great interview with John Grisham from NPR's many years ago when his book Sycamore Row was coming out. And he was interviewed by Diane Rehm, and she asked him about his writing process. And he started writing while he was still practicing trial law. And trial law, one of the most demanding professions in the legal profession. And he explained that I think when he was writing A Time to Kill, his first novel, he would actually take a couple minutes in between court sessions to write his novel, just a little bit at a time, 4 minutes, 5 minutes. His writing space was anywhere from outside the courtroom to his laundry room in his house. So you can use unorthodox spaces. You can use unorthodox schedules to write. And the key for John Grisham wasn't simply that he couldn't afford to take blocks of time because, you know, he was busy doing his profession, making a living, and writing on the side. So what he did was he made his busy schedule work for him by carving out small pockets of minutes to write. All right? So that's what I want you to think of when you're approaching your writing schedule. Come up with something realistic. All right, in terms of writing tools, we're going to cover this a little more next week, but that's something else I want you to think about. John Grisham used the legal pad and a pen. For some of you, it's going to be sitting down in front of your computer, but I've got to warn you, not everyone is acclimated to doing a first draft on a computer because some of you may get intimidated by that blank screen with the blinking cursor, and that can sometimes trip people up. So you don't necessarily have to use that. There are many other ways you can go about this. One way you can go about your first draft is you can use specific writing software. There's writing software out there that's a little bit more forgiving than simply a blank space with a blank cursor. But another way you can approach this is, and this is an unorthodox way, is you can use your voice. You can actually do dictation into a voice recorder or a tape recorder. You can narrate your first draft, and there are actually some advantages to that. So there are different types of writing tools. Even in terms of hardware, there are devoted writing tools that are out there. There's a device that's gotten a second life called the Alpha Smart. You can find them on eBay. These were small keyboards with very small screens that allowed you to type in a lot of text, and it was used as a tool to teach kids how to type in the early 2000s. They became defunct in the age of netbooks and laptops and Chromebooks and tablets, but you can still find them secondhand on eBay. And a lot of authors will use this as a first draft writing tool. I actually have one myself. I've talked about it on prior episodes. There are companies like the FreeWrite. The FreeWrite is a device that's out there that taking a page out of the Alpha Smart's book actually created a device specific for writers. And there are many different models of it, and it's just basically a device. It looks like an electronic typewriter, and it's devoted for first drafts. All right, so there are many different tools that are out there. We're going to talk more about this next week in terms of picking the right writing tool. But today, just to wrap up, the color coding for your outline is going to be key in terms of picking what to write on a specific day. And to that, you're going to want to try to get into a writing flow by picking a writing space, a space that you are consistent with, whether it's your desk, your workspace, your dining room table, the library, a coffee shop. Have a secondary and come up with a reasonable writing schedule. And what you want to do is you want to train your brain to acclimate those times and those spaces to writing. So as soon as you sit down at that space, at that time, on that scheduled day, you are going into writing mode. All right. And we've talked a little bit about tools. We're going to continue that next week. All right. Once again, I've got a writing class that starts in a week. As of the air of this episode, or as of the recording, I only have two spots left. However, if there are any spots left as of the air of this episode, I do encourage you sign up because we're going to have a lot of fun. The class starts in a week. We're going to spend 6 weeks together. I'm going to take you through the entire process. All right. And you can find more information at bemovingforward.com. And remember, the newsletter, the weekly quirk, will come out tomorrow. Hope you have a great week, great weekend, and I'll be back next week.
For more information, head over to bemovingforward.com. The views expressed by any featured guests are not necessarily those of the host, the program, or affiliates. Moving Forward is produced by John Lim and bemovingforward.com. All rights reserved.